My name is Nancy Camden. I am an oral historian. Today, September 24th, 2009, I am talking with John and Judy Crane of Green Bay, Wisconsin, to record their oral histories. This oral history is a gift from their sons, Martin, Andrew, and Christopher, on the occasion of their 50th wedding anniversary, which was August 15th of this year. Would you start by giving your full name, place of birth, and date of birth?
John Downer Crane, born in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, February 17th, 1937.
Are there any stories regarding your name? Were you named after anyone?
My middle name is my mother's maiden name, which was somewhat of a tradition in our family.
John, how many siblings do you have?
There were three of us in our family. My brother David, who is 9 years younger than I am, and my sister Mary, who was 3 years younger than I, but she died in her early 30s.
What were the circumstances of her death?
She had developed headaches and was diagnosed with a brain tumor when she was pregnant with her youngest child at 7 months pregnant. So within a month after the diagnosis, she had surgery and the baby was born a few weeks after. But that was a very traumatic event in our family.
Were your parents alive at the time?
Yes. Yes, and this affected them profoundly for the rest of their life.
What are your parents' names?
My father's name was Richard Carter Crane. Carter because that was his mother's maiden name. And Ida Ruth Downer. My father was born in 1909, and my mother was born in 1912. My father in Alma, Michigan, and my mother in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Do you know much about their parents? Did you know your grandparents?
Yes, I knew my grandparents well, at least three of them. My maternal grandfather died. He actually committed suicide when he was 61 years old, and he died when I was just 3 years old. My grandfather Downer was born in 1879 and died in 1941.
Do you remember anything surrounding that?
No. I remember the effect that it had on my family, but I don't remember. I was too young to remember. My grandfather was an alcoholic, and so there were all kinds of problems associated with being an alcoholic. And what it was that precipitated the event, I don't know, but he did commit suicide.
And what happened in the family?
It just seemed to be kind of a cloud hanging over my mother for a long time. One of the things my grandfather did not long before he died was he moved the family to a farm that he bought. And my mother did not like the idea that she was a farm girl, you know, even though she was in late high school when that happened.
So she had grown up where until they moved to the farm?
She'd grown up in town, in Appleton.
What possessed him to want to have a farm? Do you know?
I have no idea, other than, as my mother told me, he was somebody who was somewhat restless, and he would make this decision and that decision, and one of them that was a rather rash decision was to buy a farm. So after he died, my grandmother was stuck with this farm, and she ran the farm for quite a few years. My uncle, my mother's youngest brother, actually gave up any college opportunities to work at home on the farm.
What kind of a woman was she? What do you remember of your grandmother, your mother's mother?
Well, I remember her as being a very kind grandmother, a very resourceful, hardworking person, kind of a salt-of-the-earth person. My grandmother was born in 1881 and died in 1966.
Did you spend time on that farm?
Sometime, not any extended period, but I remember when we'd go out and milk the cow, or I'd watch them milk the cows, and I'd ride on my uncle's tractor, and it was a lot of fun for me to go there. I remember that I used to go in the barn, and I noticed that there was a BB gun in the corner of the barn, and I really envied that BB gun, and one day my uncle took it out and gave it to me. So I then had my repeating BB gun.
What was that uncle like? Did you have much of a relationship with him?
Oh, I had a very close relationship with that uncle.
And what was his name?
His name was Arthur. An interesting thing about Art was that he was 4F during the Second World War, which meant that he couldn't be drafted because of physical conditions. But he went to Pearl Harbor. This was after the attack on Pearl Harbor. But he moved to Pearl Harbor, and he painted ships for about the last 3 years of the war. So he was gone, but then when he came back, he actually married a woman who lived across the street from us.
Your grandmother never married again?
No, she did not.
Did she move off the farm before she died?
She gave up the farm. They sold the farm a long time before she died. I actually grew up in Port Edwards, Wisconsin, and she came and lived in our town. She had an apartment in a house that was actually inhabited by Gordon Hinckley's mother. And Gordon Hinckley was a radio personality from WTMJ in Milwaukee. So.
What was your relationship with her as she grew older?
It was very close. One thing I remember about visiting my grandmother was, and this kind of dates when this happened, because there were prisoners of war, the Second World War, who were in a camp that was about 10 miles from our small village of Port Edwards. And I remember sitting on my grandmother's porch and watching the trucks go by taking prisoners of war out to work in the cranberry marshes west of town. So she would have moved there in the latter stages of the Second World War.
What about your father's parents? What do you remember of them? What are their names?
My grandfather was Harry Lawrence Crane, and my grandmother had an interesting name. Her first name was the letter L, just L, period, and her middle name was Maud, and her last name was Carter, L. Maud Carter. She was called Maud, but her first name was actually the letter L.
And did anyone ever explain that?
No. I wish I had asked, because my grandmother lived for a long time. She lived into her 90s.
When was she born, and when did she die?
She was born in 1876, and she died in 1970.
And when was your grandfather born, and when did he die?
He was born in 1875 and died in 1954. I remember them very well. My grandfather, my paternal grandfather, Harry Crane, was a congregational minister and was actually the person who baptized me. Oh, I misspoke. I said he was a congregational minister because he baptized me in the Congregational Church in Wisconsin Rapids. But actually, he was a Presbyterian minister, and he served the same church for 33 years in Frankfort. They would come to visit about once a year, and we would go to visit them in Frankfort, Indiana. He was a very much revered person in the family, well-educated, as you would expect, was proud of the fact that he studied Greek and Hebrew in the seminary. He actually had an honorary degree, so he was called Dr. Crane, although it was honorary. An interesting thing about him is that he served the same church in Frankfort, Indiana for 33 years. My father was born in Alma, Michigan. That's where my grandfather was before he accepted his call in Frankfort.
How many children did your paternal grandmother and grandfather have?
There were three children in that family. The oldest was Louise, the second was my father, and the third was Stephen. We spent a fair amount of time, like once a year, we'd get together with that family, and I do remember my Uncle Steve in the Second World War. He was a private in the Army Signal Corps. And one day he was riding his bicycle back from his duty station. This was somewhere overseas, I forget where. And he ran off the road with the bicycle and fractured his hip. And that affected him for the rest of his life. He had a very hard time with the results of that.
What about your grandmother and her family?
One thing I should tell you about my grandmother is that she was extremely interested in genealogy. She knew that back in her family background, there were people who had fought in the Revolutionary War. So she was very interested in becoming a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution. For years, she worked on the genealogy of both my grandfather and her background. So there is a wealth of information in a book that she compiled. It's all in her own handwriting. I have copied that book and given copies to all three of our sons and to my brother and to my sister's family.
What were they like as people? Because you only saw them once a year, did you know them as well as your grandmother in Wisconsin?
Probably not as well in terms of time spent with them. But I knew my grandfather Crane very well. I knew him because of the time that I spent with him, but I also knew him because he was really a favorite of my mother, and she would tell me all kinds of things about my grandfather. He was obviously a very smart and learned person and was constantly testing me with little questions like, what is ichthyology? And I would say, it's the study of fish. And he'd say, oh, that's good, John. And he had little puzzles that he'd work with me that I still use. One of them today that would be hard to explain, but it has to do with a math problem with coins.
Your parents, where were they born and their birth dates?
My father was born in 1909 in Alma, Michigan, and he died in 1988 in Fort Myers, Florida.
And what is his full name?
Richard Carter Crane. My mother was Ida Ruth Downer. She was born in 1912 and died in 1995. She was born in Appleton, Wisconsin, and she died in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
What do you remember of them as a child?
I remember a very happy childhood. We did things together as a family. We took a few trips, like once a year we'd go on a trip somewhere, and I enjoyed that.
What did your father do in life?
When my father graduated from college, it was during the Depression, and it was difficult to find work. But he actually got a scholarship to the Institute of Paper Chemistry in Appleton, Wisconsin, and got a PhD in paper chemistry, was in the first graduating class from that institution. So he spent his life in the paper industry, in the technical side, chemistry and process. And he finally ended up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin as technical director and research director of this paper company.
But he went to college before that?
Yes, he went to Wooster College in Wooster, Ohio. One thing about my father that I would want people to remember is that he had a pretty seriously debilitating illness. And I never really understood how much it must have affected him, because he just kind of plowed through it without letting it affect our lives. But he had an illness called ankylosing spondylitis that is a degenerative illness of some type of the spine. It's an arthritic type of situation, and his backbone was literally fused after his early adult life, was literally fused from the lower back to near the top of his neck. So he couldn't really bend over like other people could, and he had to find special ways to pick things up. But it didn't affect him. He was able to do things. He had a workshop in the basement. He spent a lot of time in that. That's something he really passed on to me. But I remember that every day after work, he would come home and he'd have to take about a half hour, 45 minutes. He'd go to bed for that time and rest his back. He had a lot of difficulty putting the car into reverse because he couldn't turn around and see where he was going. He had to learn how to really rely on the mirrors. And it was difficult for him to get in and out of a car because his back didn't bend. But I really admire the way he lived with that. And as I said at the beginning of those comments, that he didn't let it affect the rest of the family.
And what about your mother?
My mother, who grew up in Appleton, was a graduate of Lawrence College, very proud of that.
Was she a gardener or a good cook, or what do you remember being around her?
She definitely was not a gardener. She was a good cook. I wasn't a fabulous cook like Judy's mother, but the thing I do remember about my mother was that she was always very interested in a social life. She had a lot of close friends and would play bridge and that type of thing that people did at that age or that time.
Did you grow up in a comfortable family economically? What was your position in life?
I would say that there was never a question of having the means to live. My parents were very good providers. My father never made much money, even though he had a PhD. His highest income, I think, was $25,000. But they were very good providers and gave me a good environment in which to grow up.
Where do you think the value for education came from in your family?
Well, definitely that goes back to my grandfather and grandmother Crane. They were highly committed to education, and there was never any question about me going on and getting a college degree.
Yes.
Now, my mother also, having graduated from Lawrence College, placed a high value on education. So in our family, that there was always the assumption that we were all going to go to college. My brother fulfilled that obligation for 1 year and then decided the college really wasn't for him, but they expected us to have that opportunity.
How much did they help with you getting a college degree?
Well, that's interesting. I went to engineering school at the University of Wisconsin, entering in fall of 1955. I went to college on a Navy scholarship. That scholarship paid for my tuition, my books, my fees, and $50 a month. Now, $50 a month doesn't sound like a lot of money, but to put it in perspective, a semester's tuition in Madison was $90 at that time. So my parents did supplement my expenses, especially the first 2 years. But then I got a job the last 2 years. I was steward at a fraternity house where I planned the menus and ordered the food and managed the waiters and the cook. And that gave me free room and board.
What years were those that you went to college?
I went to college in Madison from 1955 to 1959. Being in the in that Navy program and having an engineering program, I had to take 3 credits a semester with the Navy. So I couldn't get all of my credits in 4 years, but I did get it finished in the summer school that immediately followed my senior year. I had signed a contract with the Navy that I wouldn't get married until I got commissioned. So I was commissioned at 10 o'clock in the morning and married at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, let's go back a little bit in time, way back in time. Do you have a first memory?
I really don't have a distinct early memory. I have a memory of growing up in a small town in central Wisconsin. There were, in the 1940 census, there were 1,142 people in Port Edwards where I grew up. And I was there through eighth grade. This was a town where you knew virtually everybody. The total first grade class in that town was 16 kids. So I was with the same 16 kids through eighth grade. And I remember very fondly the time that I spent there with friends, riding bicycles and playing in the neighborhood. We were out playing from breakfast until sunset.
What would you be doing?
Oh, just playing cops and robbers or riding bikes or pick up softball game. There were no organized activities other than the Boy Scouts, but no organized activities like Little League or soccer leagues or anything like that. All of our sports was just the neighborhood kids picking up a game.
Do you remember any particular toys that you had?
No, I don't. My bicycle, I remember that.
Where did you get it? When? Do you remember that?
No, I think we got it in Montgomery Ward, but I don't remember. I don't remember the year. But it must have been when I was maybe in third grade, I would imagine.
Did you have your own bedroom? What was your house like?
It seemed like a very large house to me. In subsequent years, I went back and looked at it and was very surprised at how small it was. But it did have four bedrooms, so that all of us did have our own bedroom.
Do you remember any teachers that were important to you? What did you like to study as a young student?
I remember my third grade teacher, Mrs. Schmutzler. And I remember her because she was very interested in birds. We had a bird club that met after school in third grade. And I think I can only remember, as far as names of teachers, two other teachers in grade school. In high school, the two teachers I remember the most are math teachers. One was Mr. Cummings out in Vancouver, Washington, where I went to school for 3 years. And the other one was Mr. Jameson, who was my math teacher in my 1 year of high school in Rhinelander.
Did you listen to radio or watch TV as a kid?
That's an excellent question. Yes, we listened to lots of radio. We didn't get TV until, I believe it was 1953, January of 53, when the Badgers played in the Rose Bowl, and we were living out in Vancouver, Washington. And my dad wanted to watch the Badgers play, and that's when he bought the TV. In fact, election returns of 1952, when Eisenhower was elected president, we actually went down to a furniture store, my parents and I, and we watched some of the election returns on the TVs in the furniture store. But radio was very important, so lots of programs that we listened to every afternoon after school. You'd listen to The Lone Ranger and Tom Mix and Captain Midnight. It was very important to us, the radio. And I used to listen to the Milwaukee Braves games. I listened to a lot of Braves games in that would have been in the early 50s. But also, radio's been very important in my later years. We have public radio on in our house from the time we get up in the morning till the time we go to bed at night.
You mentioned your parents watching the returns. Was it on television?
Yeah.
What were their politics?
Well, that's very interesting. I mentioned that my mother was interested in sort of a social life, and I think she was what you might call a social Republican. My father was a Republican. My mother prides herself on the fact that she walked out of the Wisconsin State Republican Convention in protest of Joe McCarthy. But in later years, I think their politics became quite a bit more liberal. But I wouldn't identify them with a political party in later years, but definitely in my growing up years, they were Republicans.
How did your parents meet?
Well, my mother went to Lawrence College in Appleton, and my father, after he graduated from Worcester College, went to the Institute of Paper Chemistry in Appleton, Wisconsin. So they met at that time, which was the last 2 years that my mother was in college and the 2 years that, or 3 years that my father was at the Institute. And then he took a job at the Whiting Plover Paper Company just south of Stevens Point. That was his first job out of the Institute. And then moved to Port Edwards, where he worked at a company called Nakusa Edwards Paper Company. But then he had an opportunity to move out to Vancouver, Washington, which is just across the Columbia River from Portland, Oregon. And he was a mill manager there for 3 years. But then he actually lost his job there, and he was looking for other employment. And we had three opportunities: Kingsport, Tennessee, Bangor, Maine, or Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And he chose Rhinelander, Wisconsin, so, which I'm glad he did. Never would have met Judy if it hadn't been for that decision on my father's part.
What about holidays? What did your family do for birthdays, and where did they go for Christmas? Did they stay home?
I don't remember much about birthdays, other than obviously we did celebrate birthdays, but we did have virtually every Christmas at home.
And what part did religion play in your family? Were you church members?
Well, it's interesting that because my grandfather was a Presbyterian minister, my father was brought up as what he called a PK, a preacher's kid. So you would think that religion would have been very important. But I don't think my father was, I don't think religion was a strong moving force in his life. He had some deeply held principles of equality and fairness. But I think they came from the culture in his family more than from the religion. But my parents were both church members, congregational churches and Presbyterian churches in everywhere we lived. And so I was brought up in the church, but it wasn't a major force in our lives.
Did you have any jobs in high school or as a kid?
I'm glad you asked that question. When I lived in Vancouver, Washington, I lived there 3 years, and the last 2 years I lived there, I was working for the J.J. Kim Printing and Stationery Company, and I was a delivery boy on weekdays after school. They had a bicycle, and I would ride around town delivering business cards and stationery that had been printed. But on Saturday mornings, I was what was known as a printer's devil. I would get under the printing presses and clean up the oil. And then when I moved to Rhinelander at the end of my junior year in high school, I got a job as a lifeguard at Hodag Beach.
Were you socially active as a child? Did when you reached high school, did you date? Did you go to dances?
I remember that in grade school, because our class was so small, we did a lot of things together, but that was through eighth grade, so it couldn't quite be called dating. In Vancouver, I had a very close group of friends, and it included both boys and girls. But in terms of dates, I can only remember maybe one or two times when I had dates. In Rhinelander, where I went to my last year and a quarter of high school, I had a steady girlfriend after about 4 months that I was there. So,
are there any incidences in your childhood that stand out as perhaps having shaped who you are? What do you think did shape who you are?
I think my family, my parents, my grandparents. In Port Edwards, since there was no other activities, the Boy Scouts were something that really shaped my life, I think. However, about 10 years ago, I became very disillusioned with the Boy Scouts, and I actually mailed my Eagle Scout badge back to them because I didn't agree with their principles on hiring and staffing. But it was very important in my formative years.
So you must be a person of principles. And
well, I would say so, yes.
And what do those principles represent? What should your children and grandchildren know about you as a person who has a line that you believe we shouldn't cross? Or what are your philosophies and beliefs?
Well, that would be rather difficult to state in a succinct manner. But I would say that from my parents and grandparents, I really developed a belief in fundamental fairness, equality. When Judy and I lived in Beloit, it was in the 60s, and the social issues of the 60s, the civil rights movement, those types of things really influenced me. And I would say I learned a great deal about responsibility. And I think those are the things that that have driven me since.
And it sounds like you're not totally quiet about what you believe, that you're willing to make a public stand, such as the, is this true? I mean,
I would say that I was.
Do you think that's important?
Well, I think so. I was not the most popular person in town when we were working on the open housing issue in Beloit, and most recently, I was known as the man at the farmer's market who was hawking for Obama.
So I assume the Boy Scout incident is about allowing anyone to be a leader. Was that the issue, and does it have to do with gay rights and that sort of thing?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Is this something that you knew all along about yourself, or did this develop as time went along that you felt a responsibility to?
No, I think it's something that I knew all along. One thing that influenced me was when I graduated from college, I became a lieutenant in the Marine Corps and served for 3 years. And I learned a lot about management and leadership, responsibility from that experience.
What were the significant losses in your life?
I've been very fortunate, with the exception of my sister, that people who died in our family died in at the proper time of their life, after a life well lived. So I would say that my sister's death was the most traumatic thing that happened in our early years. In our early married life, our son Marty had swallowed a charcoal lighter one night. That was tough because we almost lost him.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. If you could give advice to future generations, what would you like to gift the next generations about what you've learned so far in your life? And how old are you at this point?
I'm 72. I'm not much of a person to give advice. I tried very hard to, as did Judy, to let our children grow up making their own decisions. But if I were to give advice to people, I would say, first of all, don't take yourself too seriously. You're not going to be around for long. And when you're dead and gone, you're not going to be remembered for very long. So make the best of what you have now. And do things that will make a difference for people after you.
This is the end of this oral history CD.